The following Border Crossings show is an encore presentation.
It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA Music Mix.
Hello again and welcome to Border Crossings. My name's Larry London. We have a great show for you here on this Wednesday. A brand new EP, Into the Fire. It belongs to a duo from Australia called Falls. They are in our studio and we're going to be talking with them this part of the program. So hang around. It's Border Crossings with Falls on The Voice of America.
I've been shown up and weak. I've been sitting on the fence. I've been hiding my thoughts too deep. And I've been shown to be a liar. And I'm gonna burn in the fires for what I've done. Oh, can't be undone. I've been searching for a way, a path in between tomorrows and our yesterdays. And after all we've been through, what is left for us to do? 'Cause what is done, oh, can't be undone. I'll never place a bet on you.
Sick of all those things you do. My back's against the wall you built this time. I'm waiting for an answer that's not coming. I'm running in a race that's not worth running. Oh, burning, begging for someone to rescue.
Welcome to Border Crossings. Once again, my name is Larry London, and on our show today, we have a beautiful duo all the way from Sydney, Australia, who come and join us today. Into the Fire is the name of the new EP. We'd like to welcome Falls to DC and to The Voice of America. Welcome.
Thank you, Larry.
We have Simon and Melinda, and it's great to have you here. And first of all, I have to cover the obvious because the bio that I read about you guys starts off with stating that you once had a romance and you no longer have a romance.
Yes.
So sometimes people tend to avoid that stuff when asked, you know, are you doing, you know, an item or something?
Yeah.
You put it out there. You want to just get that out of the way right away.
Well, everybody always asks us. Mm-hmm. Every gig we play, someone asks us if we're going out or if we're brother or sister. And I guess we decided that what happened between us was such a big part of our songs. It came out in our songs, everything that we've been through. And we decided it was an important story to tell.
Mm. It's amazing that you also managed to, even going through that and being relatively new, I mean, this is your first EP is out, that you're able to determine, let's stick together and let's weather this. Let's keep this going.
I think it was by default. We booked the studio and we were going to go make this record and we were breaking up and it was horrible. And we just decided that we should do it. And I think by the time the EP was finished, we'd gotten through a lot of stuff anyway. And we loved the EP and thought it would be sad to lose everything.
Right.
So music is the one thing that's kind of kept everything together the whole time. So
was it a challenge to record an album which probably has a lot of songs that were written when everything was great romantically, and then all of a sudden they're not great, but we're singing these songs we wrote before?
Yeah, I mean, it was a hard process. The studio was a lot of very emotional time, I guess.
The moments, I think sometimes for us, even when we're writing songs, the content of the lyrics and what they really mean, sometimes we don't really think about it when we're writing, and when you're listening back through those cans and hearing the other person sing those lyrics, that's for me when it really hits you. And there were moments that were really hard, but I guess that's why we wanted to tell the story of what happened to us, because our songs are very emotional and we wanted people to understand where they came from. And
You just signed with Verve, so congratulations on that. That's
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a nice, sweet deal to have.
It is.
A big
amazing.
Label like Verve, yeah. And so you guys write all your own music and produced your own music, most of it, and produced the new EP?
We worked with a wonderful producer back in Australia called Tony Buchan, and he did the string arrangements on the EP as well. Yeah, it was wonderful working with him on this record.
How do you feel your sound, your style, your music fits into today's music?
I guess we're kind of folk Americana. We've always associated ourselves with that alt country movement that's come out of this country. And I think I'd describe us as that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're listed alongside of Lumineers and of Monsters and Men, and so, which is a sound that's very appealing and very, very relevant today.
Yeah.
Very current. So we've got Falls in our studio. I'm going to ask you guys if you wouldn't mind singing a song for us here on The Voice of America. It would be great to hear from you. Border Crossings is the program. We've got Simon and Melinda. Falls.
Tell her I'm walking like I'm dreaming. Tell her I'm careful what I say. Tell her I'm heading for forgiveness. And I know it's rough some days. Tell her I've been walking in circles. And I got lost on the way. Tell her I'm heading for forgiveness, and I know it's rough some days. So please, don't you let it go to waste. And please, don't you let searching unnumbered.
sounding great. Falls here on The Voice of America. And I assume that song is on your EP.
It is.
You just performed. What's it called?
It's called Please. It's the opening track.
And what's the story behind it?
I guess this song's a really important one for us on the record because it's one of the first songs we ever wrote together. It's the first song on the EP too. So I'm glad it made it.
And you both were doing music, obviously, before you met, before this project. And similar sound, similar style? Was it always this kind of music?
Well, we'd actually never sung before we did The Falls.
Wow.
We were both musicians, and we met studying music at the Conservatorium in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And Simon was studying guitar.
Jazz guitar.
And I'm classically trained on woodwind. Mm-hmm. So the music we were doing beforehand was quite different, but the music we listen to is the music that we're playing now. Mm-hmm. So,
and right now there's a lot of influence from Australia on the pop scene. 5 Seconds of Summer from Australia. They're doing very, very...
Exploded.
Yeah, they have. They're from Sydney. And say, I've heard them say the girls could care less about us there. But now here in America, they've become, you know, hugely successful.
Yeah.
And there's other artists, many other artists. I don't know if Sia is from Australia.
She's huge
right now and in demand. So you're right at the right time in the right place.
Yeah, there's a lot of us over here now.
A lot of Australia. They're taking over.
Australian invasion.
Well, I know that you guys played the South by Southwest Music Conference. That's huge. That's a gigantic music event. You had a good time there? Despite the tragedy that took place this past year, did you have a good time otherwise?
South by Southwest was amazing for us because it's kind of like a marker in time.
Mm-hmm.
We came out for the very first time to America for South by Southwest last year. And we were an unsigned band back home in Australia. And so for us, a lot has happened within that year between our first visit to the States and that first visit to South By and then coming back this year. So
And you're returning to Austin.
We are. We'll be back for Austin City Limits in October.
So the big tour you were just on was, I guess it included Delta Ray, and Delta Ray's been on Border Crossings before.
Okay.
But you're now doing some festivals. What are the dates so that people around the world might choose to come and see you?
Well, we've got a Bumbershoot in Seattle coming up at the very end of August. And we're doing Lou Fest in St. Louis in, I think, the first week of September. And then Austin City Limits, which is, we're going to be there both weekends, I think, which is in October.
And then into the studio to work on the full studio album.
Yeah, that's really exciting for us, going to make our first full-length record.
And so what will that be about? Will it contain some of the songs or all original different songs that we're hearing on the EP? Or
we haven't decided yet.
We've been writing a lot, so there's a lot of new material. We'll see how it all
And we're finding together. There's a lot of songs about this country and us coming here. And
really?
Yeah. So I think in the next month we'll get a better idea of what this record's really going to be about. But we're already noticing we've been influenced a lot by the time we've spent here and the people that we've met. And and I think there's often a lot of themes of missing home as well. So
So what is it that drew you to want to come to America to perform and have the people in America hear your music?
I don't know. It's always just been a sort of something to to aspire to.
On your checklist.
And
you know what? The
America,
music that we love.
England, Germany.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's more that the music that I love and the music that's influenced us and where we've ended up all comes out of this country. And so it's almost been a bit like a pilgrimage. We visited places that were just ideas in the back of our minds. We hung out in Laurel Canyon a little bit when we first got here. And we just went out to Joshua Tree and hung out in the desert before we hit the road again, which was amazing. And, I think that's a big reason for me.
And being an artist who has come from, far away from Australia to America, and you've spent on the road a lot of time, have you been in New York and Los Angeles to compare the differences between the two places? You were saying it's like your hometown versus Sydney, very different. And so New York and Los Angeles here, different.
They are very different, I mean, we've spent a little bit of time in New York, but probably more time in Los Angeles because we're based out of there at the moment.
Where's your favorite place so far here in the U.S.?
I have a love affair with New York City. As I'm sure a lot of people do. So I love that city a lot. But I do. We don't really have a favorite city that we've visited yet. We've really loved everywhere we've gone to. But I do have a favorite airport. I love Salt Lake City Airport.
Why so?
It's gorgeous. You can look out and you see the mountains, and yeah, it's incredible. So I love going to Salt Lake City Airport, and we've been there a few times.
And I'm sure people listening right now around the world in the various places we're being heard are saying, our airport's gorgeous. Come and see us.
Yeah, well.
So is there a plan for an international tour?
Well, we'd love
I hope
to.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But nothing
official.
Locked in.
All right. Well, if people want to extend an invitation, I'm sure you're online on all the social sites and you have a website too, which would be?
It's fallsofficial.com.
Fallsofficial.com. And people can get the new EP there. And
you can get everything there. It's on iTunes and all the other places.
All right,
you
great.
Music as well.
Yeah. Can you do another song for us?
Absolutely. We thought we might do a new song since we're going into the studio in a month. Mm-hmm. It's a song called When We Were Young.
Excellent. Falls on the Voice of America.
You smiled hello as we battled the snow, two strangers in New York. I started a line, my words frozen in time as we turned left on Lafayette. Promise me you would, but you never could. You say you will, but I'm waiting still. Oh, you should have seen me back when we were young and seen me do all those things I've done. You might have loved me back when we were young. As you made your escape, it all seemed too late. I descended the stairs to die with a whiskey in hand and perhaps some divine plan. You appeared just in time. Promise me you would, but you never could. You say you will, but I'm waiting still. Oh, you should have seen me back when we were young and seen me do all those things I've done. You might have loved me back when
lovely. Falls on our program today here on Border Crossings. If you're just tuning in, Melinda and Simon are with us. Into the Fire is the name of the new EP. And so favorite songs that people should be definitely checking out. What would you recommend? What, in your opinion, what are your favorites on your new EP?
That's always difficult. For me, I think my favorite song on the EP is probably Hollywood. We did a little residency back in Sydney. Every Wednesday night for almost 2 years, we played at a hotel in Sydney called The Hollywood.
Mm.
And it's where we wrote most of these songs. Mm-hmm. And so I love that song, but it also has a lot of personal significance to me.
Mm. Well, that's great. So people look out for the song Hollywood on the new Into the Fire EP. Now, the songwriting process, since we're talking about songwriting, is it typically done with the two of you together? Do you do it? Does he do it?
No, well, we both write. Generally, we kind of write separately together.
Mm-hmm. Separately together?
Separately at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Separately at the same time, I like that.
And then we kind of exchange, I guess, ideas, and they, you know, we kind of pick the ones that we like and then work on them further. And then eventually we do kind of get together and workshop them. Mm-hmm. But I think the initial ideas are generally done individually.
I'm always fascinated by the songwriting process itself because I couldn't even sit down and begin to write a poem, let alone writing a song, which is music, you know, and lyrics.
Yes.
What comes first typically with you?
I think we find it kind of comes together. We're definitely led by the music first, mm-hmm. but there's usually lyrics that are there from the very first time. Mm-hmm. There's sounds and words that come out straight away. So every song's different, though, mm-hmm. we find. Mm. Every song's a little bit of both of us, but the lyrics, we don't have one person that writes lyrics and one person that mm-hmm. writes the melodies. Yeah, every song is different.
What's the strangest place that ever gave you inspiration for a song?
It's a hard question.
We have a new song.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. She says with reluctance.
Yeah. It's called Argentina. Mm-hmm. And we've never been to Argentina. But I guess we have an idea of that place. And so I think that's the strangest place we've written a song about.
Mm-hmm. Only because we have no idea what it's actually like.
Or if our song relates to the country at all. And now I'm very excited to go, so.
Yeah, well, there you go. And to sing it in Argentina.
Exactly.
There's a song about it, and they go, what are they talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have anything like that.
Exactly.
But I'm sure that it's an exciting time for you. I mean, Nylon has written great things about you. Radio stations in Los Angeles are talking highly about you guys and mm-hmm. saying you're the artists to watch. Harper's Bazaar has said some tremendous things about you. So all of this has got to be so exciting for you.
It is. Yeah.
We are totally living the dream. Mm-hmm. I actually said when we got off the plane, I was like, it's true. God bless America. We're living the American dream. We've come out here and we're just having an incredible time. So it's hard to believe.
That's great. And we're, you know, you have a beautiful sound. You really have a great sound. And it's interesting to hear that your background is jazz. You know, that's kind of very different from what it is you're doing.
It is. I mean, I sort of enjoyed jazz because it was a challenge mm-hmm. on the instrument, you know, but I'd always enjoyed listening to sort of folk and country music. And mm-hmm. I think eventually when I started writing, the writing process, I wasn't writing jazz songs, mm-hmm. you know, I was writing sort of folk songs.
Right.
And then eventually that kind of took over, really. Mm-hmm. But I think it was always good to have that basis in jazz as well. It teaches you about the instrument and, you know, bit of facility, which is good.
And being a classically trained vocalist, I mean, this has got to be a big transition.
It's very, very different. I actually trained on woodwind, so mm-hmm. I'd never sung before we did the falls. And I guess my story is the same as Simon's. The music we're playing is the music I've always listened to. Mm-hmm. But I grew up in a small town, and for me, studying music was a way for me to keep doing music. Mm-hmm. I really didn't know how I was going to. I always knew I loved playing music and that's what I wanted to do with my life, but I really didn't know how that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And when I auditioned for the conservatorium and got in, I was like, okay, I'll just go do that for a while and it means I can keep playing music and I'll see where it leads. And it's pretty great that it's led this far.
Mm. Well, how about your future wish list? Are there people you'd like to work with? Are you touring just as a duo or is there a band or what's in the plan for the future?
We're touring at the moment as a duo with mm-hmm. a string quartet mm-hmm. when we can, because the strings are a big part of the EP mm-hmm. sound. Mm-hmm. But moving forward, it would be amazing to be able to travel with a full band. And, you know, I think once the record's done and we mm-hmm. hear the direction of that, that would be something to aspire to.
Are you tossing names around for the new album yet?
Argentina.
Argentina! See, there we go. Yep. She said that without hesitation. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in to do this for us. I know you're going to do another song, so maybe you can tell me about that song.
Oh, we thought we'd play the first single mm-hmm. off our EP. Mm-hmm. It's called Home. So,
all right, here we go.
Play that for
Falls.
You.
Sure feel like escaping. So I hit the road. Not like any other Tuesday, the sun is hanging low. Head feels full of static, and time is standing still. Clouds throw shapes and shadows on my hands on the wheel. And I know it all comes back the moment I get home. Home. blissful in the dawn. Swallowed up by history and all at once it's gone. And I know, yeah, I know, it all comes back the moment I get home. It all comes back the moment I get home. It all comes back the moment I get home. To wonder, I'm watching it unfold. I thought it once creeping, it seems I'm getting old. And oh, when those city lights are blinding, back across the bridge, back into acceptance, this is where I live. And I know, yeah, I know. And I know, yeah, I know. It all comes back the moment I get home. It all comes back the moment I get home. It all comes back the moment I get home. It all comes back the moment I get home.
Falls here on The Voice of America. The new EP is called Into the Fire. It came out in February. It's doing great. I heard you were so excited when you heard you were on the charts.
Yeah.
You were all over the place. You, oh, we're on the chart. We're on the chart.
We get very excited.
Congratulations to you guys, both on all the success you've had and will continue to have, I'm sure. Do you have an idea when the new album will be done and when it'll be out?
It's definitely going to be out next year. So. Yeah. Early next year.
All right. Will you come back and see us when it comes out?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. If you'll have us back.
I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to hold you to that. So I guess this is your international debut of sorts. I mean, since you haven't been on a world tour yet.
It is. Yeah. It's awesome. This is the first time we're going live out across the country and the world. So yeah.
60 countries are meeting Falls for the first time right now. So
that's amazing. Wow.
Thank you, Simon and Melinda, for coming on the show. No,
thanks so much for having us.
What a pleasure. Come back and see us
when your
album comes out next year. I'm Larry London. It's Border Crossings. Into the Fire is the name of the EP. It's from Falls. Stay tuned.
When you were just a young girl and still in school. Strange men, don't be a fool. I'm hearing stories, I don't think that's cool. Why don't you tell me someone is loving you? 'Cause you're my girl, some say it's no longer true. You're seeing some slick continental dude. I'm begging you, please don't talk to strangers. Baby, don't you go. Don't talk to strangers. You know he'll only use you. Don't talk, don't talk, don't talk. Don't talk, don't talk to him. Nobody talk, nobody ever don't talk to you. Now tell me, how's life in the big city? I hear the competition's tough. What's getting back to me? Now who's this dumb one I've been hearing of? Love hurts when only one's in love. Did you fall at first sight or did you need a shove? I'm begging you, please don't talk to strangers. Baby, don't you go. Don't talk to strangers. You know he'll only use you. Don't talk, don't talk, don't talk.
Hi, I'm Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. Today, a very special guest in our studio, a multi-platinum superstar who's known around the world. We welcome Rick Springfield to the Voice of America in D.C. Welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Congratulations on all your success. I know this is an exciting time for you. You've got a new book. It's an honor to meet you. We all listened to your music for a number of years and watched you on television. And I was interested to read in your bio that it was actually music first in your life.
Yeah.
A lot of us believe that you were, because you're so handsome and talented, that you were pursuing acting as your first love, and you became famous as Noah Drake on General Hospital.
Yeah, no, I started out as a guitar player when I was, started out learning guitar at 12. And I was in bands in Australia, grew up in Australia, and was in bands there, and then went solo and came over here in 71, 72.
Now, you don't have the accent anymore.
Well, I do sometimes, mate. When I have a couple of beers, it comes right out. You know what I'm saying?
But you were telling me that you have lived in so many different places. You've moved around a bit.
Yeah, well, my dad was in the Army, in the Australian Army, and every 2 years we're at a new school, and we moved all around Australia, and then we moved to England, which was great. At the age I was at, I was like 10 years old, so I was got into guitars and music and everything over there. And then basically I joined bands and started traveling again, so I've never really stopped traveling. We ended up going to Vietnam in 68 too, and playing for the troops. So my history with the armed forces goes way back.
Yeah, obviously, and it's in your family. As far as the TV music career thing goes, I mean, you came here as a musician then, and how did you get into television?
Between record deals, as they say, and needing to make some money, I foolishly thought, oh, I'll become an actor and make some money while I'm waiting for a record deal, you know? Meanwhile, all the guys in the acting class were waiting tables until they became actors. So it was a degree of innocence and stupidity, I think, on my part. But I started working as an actor and then ended up getting General Hospital. I got that just after I'd finished an album that became Working Class Dog. We had Jesse's Girl on it, and, I've done everything for you, and... So it was kind of just serendipitous that it all came together at the one point.
Right. Did you find it hard for people at that time to take you seriously because you were an actor and then, it harder to get the music out there?
Yeah. I think they thought I was, some actor that some guy had got to sing on key for 3.5 minutes in one song. That's kind of, I think, was people's general view of me for quite a while. Mm-hmm. But I figured, if I just keep writing and keep playing and doing the stuff that I love to do, that the truth will come out.
Right, right. And it's clear that you love what you're doing because you're so good at it. And, in this business, you have a favorite part? Is it the songwriting? Is it the performing line?
No, I actually love writing, period. I've been doing a lot of prose now with I wrote my own autobiography, which...
Yeah, a couple years ago.
And then this is the first work of fiction, but I have ADD too, so I sometimes lose my way.
What are you talking about?
What? Who?
Oh, look, a chicken.
Rick Springfield's in our studio. He's referring to Magnificent Vibration, which is the brand new book, which is fiction, and we're going to get into that. First, if I could ask you to do a song for us.
Oh, sure. This is a song I used to do in Vietnam for the troops. By the shape I'm in, I can't sing, ain't pretty, and my legs are thin. Don't ask what I think of you, I might not give the answer that you want me to. He said, stick by me and I'll be your guiding hand. Don't ask what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to.
With Rick Springfield right here on The Voice of America. We got the guitar, we got the music, we also got the book, Magnificent Vibration. Let's talk about your book. Mm-hmm. This is, as you said, fiction, your first time at fiction. You're a best-selling author. You wrote a tremendously selling, successful book a few years ago. Why fiction?
Well, my publisher actually liked my writing voice. So she said after they published the autobiography, she said I should be writing fiction, as was her words. But I'd done that originally as a kid. I really started out as a writer. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing I ever got any good grades for in school was for my essays, you know, and the teachers always encourage what you're good at. So it was either that or drumming on the desk. So they thought the best bet would be to go to a writer because you don't want to be a drummer. And,
a desk drummer.
What's that?
A desk drummer.
right.
So the album, the book, Magnificent Vibration, is a very interesting story. It's a very interesting concept. Someone gets, and I don't know if it's you put yourself in the first tense, if it's mm-hmm. you, or someone gets a phone number, the 800 telephone number, to talk to God. Mm-hmm. That's the whole idea behind the book.
Well, that's the intro. That's uh-huh. kind of the setup for it. It's really, it's what they call an extreme novel. It kind of goes way south of that once he starts talking to God. And of course, he doesn't believe he's talking to God when he first does. It's a guy named Horatio Cotton, and he's a 32-year-old divorced, gone through a horrible divorce, hates his job, thinks his life is over, and he steals a self-help book called Magnificent Vibration, Discover Your True Purpose. And on the inside cover is handwritten notes, is 1-800-CALL-GOD. So he does, and it's pretty much disbelief from the start, you know, but God doesn't really guide them, you discover God's philosophy, and it deals with some serious subject, but it's really dark humor. I mean, it's very
right.
There's a lot of kind of weird sex stuff in it and everything. But but it basically has a soul, and the soul is, you know, that we're destroying the earth we're supposed to be the caretakers, and we're the worst caretakers that we could possibly the earth could possibly pick. Mm-hmm. And the earth is we're past the tipping point, mm-hmm. and so something needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's a culmination of the story.
So how much of Horatio is really you?
All the characters in the book, they all start from a moment of truth with me, mm-hmm. because I think that's the only way I could make them feel truthful, I think, was that if they started from a point of truth. Mm-hmm. But then as the story evolves, they hopefully take on a life of their own. Mm-hmm. And that's when the surprises come. For me, too, as a writer, it was kind of fun to see where they would go.
Right, right. Well, it must be fun to sit and write a book, although it consumes a lot of time. But
I wrote it in 4 months, actually, and it was really great because we travel a lot when we tour, mm-hmm. and I'm always on the plane. And I can write on the plane, and, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
kind of a captive audience.
Well, I mean, you know, I read through most of the book and enjoyed what I was reading, and it does take you on some surprises, some turns and twists that you don't expect to go in,
yeah.
and you bring up some interesting situations as well and deal with some sensitive subjects. And one of those subjects I'd like to deal with in your life is an ongoing thing that you get asked about quite often is the depression that you've dealt with in the past mm-hmm. in your life.
I'm becoming the depression poster child.
That's
which
it.
Is not a good thing, but yeah, I get it.
Well, it is if you're helping others.
I guess so, yeah.
And so, I mean, but everything's good now. And
it depresses me, though.
It depresses you to think about depression.
That I'm the depressive... poster child, yeah, kind of counterproductive, but I've had to deal with it all my life, and I've always channeled. That's where my writing comes from, mm-hmm. is from that dark side, because I'm always. I don't know any writer that's well adjusted or is a shiny happy guy. There's no such thing as far as I'm concerned with, because all the creativity comes from you being introspective and looking in yourself, mm-hmm. finding out, trying to figure out what's wrong. Mm-hmm. That's the yin-yang of depression.
Right. And when you do these book tours or meet and greets or things like that, and fans come up to you, you probably have a certain percentage that say, you're an inspiration, you're a role model, and you've helped me, you know, get on the right track. And then you have those that probably say, how dare you? I mean, what do you have to be depressed about? You're handsome, you're successful, you're famous, you're...
Well, in the autobiography, I explain what all that means, is that I sought fame and fortune because I thought it would heal me. And it, you know, it's the same reason people do drugs, the same reason people too much drinking. And, you know, I mean, we're looking for healing.
Right.
You know, is it the base, bottom rung of all that stuff? Mm-hmm. And I was looking for healing, too, with fame and fortune. When it started, I thought I was right. I thought, yeah, this is working. And, but, you know, a couple of years into it, you start to realize that nothing's really changed within you. Mm-hmm. And I said in my autobiography that it was the big lie of fame to me, was that it isn't healing. There's no restorative power in it. and so that the change has to always come from within. And it doesn't matter if you think someone's great looking, look at all the beautiful movie stars that were, got into drugs and alcohol and incredibly depressed people. And it really has nothing to do with how others view you. It's how you view your environment. Mm-hmm. Purely comes from within you.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of young ladies around the world who have had your poster in their rooms, and
the depressing poster child, you mean?
No, I mean the very handsome, good-looking Rick Springfield posters, and have collected your music over the years and followed your career. And I know that one of the reasons that you have been known around the world is because of the big Grammy that you got in '81 and for the hit Jesse's Girl. So if I could touch on that for just a little bit, and you had said somewhere if you weren't depressed, then and everything was going well, then there wouldn't have been a song, Jesse's Girl.
There wouldn't have been any songs. All my songs, and people, because I had such an image initially as this kind of bright, shiny guy, pop guy, a lot of people initially missed the anger in Jesse's Girl. It's a very angry song, but then where Jesse's Girl started to become take on a life of its own was when it was put in the film Boogie Nights. Sort of the director understood the anger in that song and put it in a great moment in a scene of Boogie Nights, and so that was kind of the start of Jesse's Girl's other career after it left me.
Mm. Can you do a little of it?
That's it.
That's it.
Oh, no. Let me tune up.
Well, everybody would know that right away. I mean, and to name that tune, you play that just that much, people would say, Jesse's Girl, Rick Springfield.
Name that tune. Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed. It ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I want to make her mine. And she watch him with those eyes. Play along with the charade. There doesn't seem to be a reason to change. You know, I feel so dirty when they start talking cute. I want to tell her that I love her, but the point is probably moot. Cause she's watching with those eyes. And she's loving with that body out this morning. And he's holding her in his arms late at night.
Standing around the world right now for Rick Springfield. So, I mean, that song must have validated it all for you. I mean, number one and Grammy, and you must have just said, hey, I got
I'm cool
something.
Now.
Yeah, I'm cool now. I'm here. I've arrived.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was certainly a dream come true. I'd always wanted to have my music be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's certainly, like I said, it's taken on a life of its own. So. Mm-hmm.
And Mom must have been pretty proud, too.
She had a lot to say. Unlike the book.
That's right.
There's no rude part. Well, there is kind of rude parts in the song, too. But yeah, she saw me. Actually, my mom has been a big champ. My dad died early when that song was first going up the charts. So it was really a tough, kind of a brutal but awesome time for me at the same time.
Wow.
But mom saw me play, did three nights at Carnegie Hall in New York, and that was a big deal to her, so she came to that. thought it was a bit loud, that's all.
And the original recording was, you had Neil Giraldo in the,
yes,
in the song.
Neil Giraldo played the guitar on the original guitar on the original track of Jesse's Girl.
And that's, you know, what we're talking 35 years now, and you're getting back together with Neil, I understand.
Yep, we're going on tour, and about time, you know, 30 years.
That's right, a long wait
for
a reunion.
Yeah.
But he's going to be on tour. You're going to join Pat Benatar, mm-hmm, and Neil is her husband, so the you know, just the three of you guys are on the road?
No, well, their band and, mm-hmm, and my band, you know, mm-hmm, I just saw talking to Neil the other day, actually, and we're all excited about it because it's a good bill.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun, I'm sure. Yeah, and, you know, you've been doing an acoustic or a laid-back acoustic tour. How's that been for you? That's got to feel different.
Totally. It's very different from our electric band show, because electric band show is really loud and, mm-hmm, and a lot of high energy. With the solo show is just, it's storyteller kind of stuff. And mm-hmm, just sit back and tell a lot of stupid, funny stories.
A lot of people don't know that you're a funny guy, but you really are. You're a funny guy.
Yeah, you have to. You've got to have a sense of humor.
Right, to survive these days.
Yeah.
So you've played in festivals with 80,000 people, you know, 100,000 people, and you've played, you know, 300, 500.
Audience
of one. What, you know, do you have a preference? I know they're a totally different thing, but, you know.
It's as long as it's... I get my energy on stage from the audience, and, mm-hmm, and really that happens if there's 35 or 35,000. It's really the same kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you scored, you know, the number one hit with Jesse's Girl, was that something you knew right away? You said, I've got a hit here, or was it a surprise to you?
No, I didn't actually think it was a single when I wrote it. I thought there were much better songs on the album.
Right. And of course, you had some big hits too on that album as well, several, mm-hmm, albums worth. But, you know, now you're on tour, you're doing the hits. How have your fans changed over the years? You still get, you know, are they followed you? Are you?
When you're on stage,
you must be performing for the ones who grew up with you in the 80s.
Yeah.
And some teenagers who are finding you now for the first time.
Yeah, it's a good mix. It's a lot of the people from, you know, that grew up with me. Mm-hmm. Some bring their kids, as other people have found me through different avenues. And so the solo show brings out... More couples come to that. There's actually more guys come to that show than...
Really?
So, yeah. Because a lot of guitar playing and...
Right.
And not just, you know, but...
So are you doing a world tour? Is this just a U.S. tour?
The thing with Pat is just U.S. at the moment, but mm-hmm, I'm going to Australia with my band in October for the first time. Actually, being an Australian, I've never toured Australia as a solo artist, which is kind of weird.
Whoa.
Did a lot in bands, mm-hmm, toured all a whole other country.
Is there additional pressure there going to work?
Going there? No, yeah. No, not at all. I'm really excited about it, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very excited.
And bringing the family?
Yeah, because my mom's still there. She's still kicking.
Still good. Well, that's great. I mean, she's reading your books. We need her, you know, to give the reviews. She's got to tell you if it's good or not. So, Magnificent Vibration is the follow-up to a big autobiography. What's next for you? I mean, I know this just came out, so it's kind of early to talk about the next book, but somebody like you who's always creative, always thinking, always coming up with ideas, you know, is there anything in your mind that you're
thinking? I'm working on a sequel to that now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it ends at a very...
You leave us hanging.
Very much a hanging point, but... Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to know where it went. So
right.
I had to write it and find out where it went.
Any chance of this getting picked up for a film? I mean, is this the kind of
thing? I think we think it's a very cinematic book, but mm-hmm, it's extreme, and it's certainly, it would be an expensive movie to make, but it depends. You know, mm-hmm, maybe when the sequel's done, they'll think, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, because it goes more extreme places.
And how about an album? I mean, you know, it's been a few years now, 2-3 years since the last album. So. Which was 17, album 17, right? I mean,
is it?
Wow. Something like that. Yeah, there's a lot there. There's a pile.
Wow. I'm working on stuff now and talking to the guy. I actually have written the last two albums with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about just ideas, throwing some ideas around now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to get in the mode. I'm in the prose mode, but I got to get in the song mode. It's a very similar thing, but it's just a commitment.
Right. The first song you played was a bluesy song.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do the rock, you do the pop stuff. Is there anything, a genre that you haven't done that you want to do? Country, you want to try that? Or...
Well, there is a country song I wrote, but I can't sing it because there's some swearing in it.
Uh-oh, can't do that. Rick yep. Springfield. Now, if people want to get the new book, obviously it's available in bookstores, but let's say they live around the world and they're listening or watching right now and they want to get it. Will it be available online at different book?
Oh, yeah. It's online on all the online sites.
Amazon, I guess, sells
what's
books.
That? Yep.
Amazon
yep.
And all the places. How about your website? Is there a website people
go to? RickSpringfield.com. Yeah, you got all the info there. Yeah.
And the tour info's there, too. So if they want to reach out, are you active on Facebook and stuff, people?
Yeah, I got a Facebook and
well, that's great.
Twitter.
Well, you know, what a pleasure to talk to you and to meet the guy behind the legend because, you know, I've listened to your music and loved your music for many years. And, of course, we've seen you in films. You know, you did the Dave Grohl thing and with the Foo Fighters and you did your own documentary, which was about you. And so you've been on the big screen. You've been on the small screen. You've been everywhere. You do so many things so well. Now, you know, as far as your children go, are you encouraging them to get into the business? Are you saying don't get into the business?
No. I, if they want to, you know, they're both of them are in the business. Mm-hmm. My eldest son's a writer and actor and a singer, great singer, great guitar player. Mm-hmm. My youngest son's doing production stuff now in the production house. So they're all, you know, they're all real interested in it, and it's always been around. So
right.
I wouldn't discourage anyone from, you know, I think people only discourage people, their kids from work they're in because they know the pitfalls and the dangers and everything, but you don't know the dangers and the pitfalls of, say, being a banker or being a car salesman either, you know?
Right.
You only
right.
know the dangers of your career, so maybe you can help them.
Now, if you could dig deep and remember, what was the best advice you ever got and who gave it to you?
Well, the most important thing that I think is kind of what I've always tried to do my best, but the three things I tell my kids, the most important things in the world are never give up, never give up, never give up.
Wow, great advice. Well, I appreciate your time. I know you're very busy and on tour with Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo. You're on your own tour as well. The new book is now out, Magnificent Vibration from Rick Springfield, so get a copy of that. Thank you, Rick, for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
My name is Larry London. Thanks to the whole crew for putting together today's program. This is Border Crossings on the VOA Music Mix Network.
Join Larry on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Larry London.